Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hello?
Hi, Jen. It's Bob Seska. How are you?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Great. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you pretty good.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. That's great. Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Well, let's...
I wanted to tell you something really quick first.
Sure.
I was reading about you and saw that you're sort of an aficionado on the Civil War. Well, I wanted to tell you that my big brother is like, and has been since he was a teenager, a Civil War nut. I mean, he gets up at 5:30 in the morning, I'm not kidding, and just starts reading. He probably knows more about the Civil War than anybody else.
Oh, so my God.
Like, yeah.
That's great. Does he live out here on the East Coast, or where is he located?
Yeah, he was living in Oregon, but then he just moved out here to the East Coast because my mother's turned 98, and so he's living with her and kind of, you know, taking care of her.
Oh, yeah.
So he's here now.
Well, and of course, he's much closer to battlefields now than Oregon.
Yeah.
Not too many Civil War battlefields in Oregon.
No.
But some fantastic ones down here. That's great. You know, I probably don't know a fraction of what he knows based on what you've said, but I'm certainly interested, and I've spent quite a bit of time at Gettysburg and a lot of the battlefields here on the East Coast, and I've got an entire library of books, and I'm looking at two paintings on my wall of Civil War scenes.
And
it's an interesting field, and one that is kind of relaxing to get into, strangely enough. As awful as it was, it's kind of nice to go back and see, well, you know, it was things today, well, they could be a lot worse. We could be killing, you know, 500,000 people at a clip, you know.
I think that's what got him interested in it, was that it was he read in high school or something that it was the bloodiest war.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't fathom how, you know, our country could fight against each other. Like, he just started, you know, studying it. But if you ever want to talk to somebody about it, let me know.
Okay, sure.
He doesn't know any other, you know, Civil War, fanatics.
Oh, well, I'll have to send him some links to some discussion boards, because
there are many.
I recommend, there's a licensed battlefield guide named Gary Adelman, who is an absolute genius. His Facebook page is great. He's always doing battlefield talks. He does a lot of the tours. He's based in and around Gettysburg, so he does a lot of Gettysburg things. But he does all kinds of stuff, battlefields up and down. He's also, a board member of the Civil War Trust. When what they do is they buy up land and donate it back to the National Park Service to preserve Civil War battlefields. So it's great work and great cause. And Gary Adelman's just a genius. But you know, Jen, it's interesting you brought up the Civil War, because the lead up to the Civil War contained a lot of interesting, I don't know if you call them media things, but there was a group of people called, they were known at the time as Fire Eaters. And what they would do is they would insert propaganda into the bloodstream of the political discourse to try to get people to support the idea of secession and this notion that slaves were eventually going to revolt and take up arms against their masters. Yeah. And we need to do something now. And if this Abraham Lincoln is elected, then he's going to incite a slave revolt and so on. And so there are parallels to the propaganda that led up to the Civil War, to the propaganda that we're seeing now on AM talk radio and Fox News Channel, everything you cover in your movie. So it's fascinating to see the parallels historically of this.
There's all kinds of scary parallels, too, because, I don't mean to overdo Hitler, but I mean Goebbels bought everybody or made all these really super cheap radios so that everybody, practically everybody in Germany could have a radio.
Interesting.
And then just the only thing that was allowed was Nazi propaganda. And then another interesting thing about it is that they tried to make it. They tried to sell it, market it it's really nice. Like they would, in between, they'd play orchestra music and stuff like that. So, media matters.
Absolutely. And, if Donald Trump was half as smart as Hitler, and I'm not saying Hitler was a genius or I'm not complimenting Hitler. I'm just saying Trump is kind of an idiot that he doesn't know quite how to capitalize on the propaganda support that he's getting from all of these media outlets. He's too busy demonizing the other ones that he doesn't like that tell the truth about him. But, without spoiling too much, let's get into your movie here, because I tell you what, I've been talking about your movie since it was first made public, because once I saw it, it was so prescient and so salient in terms of defining, I think, a lot of the reasons why we are where we are right now in terms of this mass delusion that I think Fox News and AM talk radio has created around this figure who is now president of the United States. And and really, your film nailed that. I mean, absolutely hit upon something that we're all witnessing, we're all seeing, and not just from a, let's look at Twitter and see all the insanity that's going on, but from a personal point of view where, we just finished with the holidays. I would imagine at least half of everyone listening to our voices today has a relative, a close relative, who's been indoctrinated by Fox News Channel. So I just wanted to throw that out there just as a glowing endorsement for your movie. I mean, it's one of three movies I think that people need to see, documentaries that pertain to this era. It's your film, it's Active Measures, and Get Me Roger Stone. I think those three movies are must-watch films to get a full appreciation for the insanity that's going on right now. But walk us through your family experience, Jen, with politics and how your dad ended up being sucked into the Rush Limbaugh Fox News vortex.
Well, first I'll give a personal little story, which will give some context for why it seemed to matter to me when I was watching my dad change. Like many other people, I was terribly bullied in school.
Wow.
And I had a friend who wanted only me. That's how girls were back in the eighth grade, whatever. So she told our mutual friends that I was talking behind their back, and she told me they were talking behind my back. And my mother, thank God, kind of figured it out and put it together and suggested that I confront her with the friends. And I did that, and then everybody was amazed that she was lying. And then when she found out she was lying, when everybody found out she was lying, she said to me, "Well, I wanted you all to myself. That's how much I love you." So I was like, wow, people get influenced really easily without checking facts.
Yeah, amazing.
I mean, it wasn't like that conscious thought in my head, but it was there as a very visceral experience. So And my dad was kind of easily influenced. Like, I could get him excited about a story, you know, this salesperson was rude to me. Oh, yeah? Oh, you know, or my brother could tell him a whopper, my younger brother, and he'd believe it.
Yeah.
So, whereas my mother, not so much. But anyway, my parents moved, and then when they moved back to, they moved from New Jersey to Maryland, then from Maryland back to New Jersey, and my dad retired and got this part-time job. Mm-hmm. And there was a long commute. He used to have a commute with guys, and, you know, they'd talk about whatever. And so he always felt he had to make use of his time.
Yep.
And he always valued education. So there wasn't a 24-hour news station, so he found talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that was Bob Grant. Bob Grant is known as the father of conservative radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Invented so much of what has become AM talk radio, sort of patient one for all of this, patient zero, yeah, as they say, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was the prototype. I mean, Sean Hannity studied him, Rush Limbaugh studied him.
Yep.
You know, he became the shock jock model.
Right.
But they've since surpassed him. I mean, he was like openly racist, you know, and didn't try and hide it or anything like that.
Yeah.
So my dad, you know, was listening to this stuff every day, and very slowly I saw him start to change. And it kind of bothered me a little bit, but, you know, I kind of like my sensors, I was concerned, but not consumed by it.
Yeah.
I just kept seeing these signs of him changing and becoming very, like, rebellious.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would come down from New York to visit, right, and he'd pick me up in the car in his junk mobile that had all kinds of, well, later on it had right-wing stickers on it. But, you know, he'd pick me up and he'd have his Manhattan drink in the cup holder, right? And I'd be like, Dad, you're not supposed to drink and drive. And he'd be like, well, the government can't tell me what to do. I'm drink and drive.
But at least he was doing it with style. I mean, most guys just take a beer and stick it there in the cup. Your dad has a Manhattan. I give him credit that. Bonus points for your dad on that.
Yeah, I learned to love Manhattans. They made the best Manhattans ever.
Wow.
That was their drink, that, and then wine later on. But or you know, or he wouldn't wear a seatbelt. I'd be like, Dad, you have to wear a seatbelt. He'd say, oh, government can't tell me what to do. I'm not wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, wow.
And sure enough, one day he showed up and he had a seatbelt on. I'm like, Dad, what's the deal? He says, oh, don't tell your mother, but I got a ticket, a $50 ticket for not wearing a seatbelt.
No.
But those were the funnier things.
Yeah.
You know, he just got like more irritable and angrier. And then when he stopped working altogether, then he found Rush Limbaugh. It was right after, you know, pretty much after the Reagan wouldn't sign the Fairness Doctrine into law. Mm-hmm. And then the very next year, Rush Limbaugh went national.
Yep, absolutely.
So he was all over the place. So that's when things really started changing, and he became a very angry person.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was always open-minded. He talked to everybody. We were never raised to be prejudiced. I never heard any like bad words, except he'd call other Polacks, you know, and stuff like that, you know, but nothing ever like, you know, like anything.
Yeah.
Like, black people were foreboding. We were supposed to treat them with respect because they had been given enough crap, you know, by white people. And then he's he's starting to act racist, sexist, homophobic, all of this stuff. It was weird. It was like somebody took what was inside my dad and put something else in there, somebody else in there.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, Rush Limbaugh is fascinating as a character study, because that guy, he started out as just a radio disc jockey where he was just spin records, and he is actually a really good broadcaster. I mean, apart from him being just an unmitigated a-hole, he actually knows what he's doing. And that's what's kind of scary about him, because he knows how a radio audience behaves, the amount of time they listen. He can time his bits based on that information, based on that experience that he had coming up through music radio, and knowing how to encapsulate a thought in a way that's almost bite-sized, that you can fit into your head very easily and remember. So he was really skilled, and still is, at all of those things. And of course, he's using them for terrible goals. But nevertheless, I can absolutely see how that happened. And it's interesting, when I first heard Rush Limbaugh on the radio, I thought it was a joke. I thought he was satirizing. So I thought he was behaving like trying to do like, because I always considered Morton Downey Jr. like, he was the first, Morton Downey Jr. was like the first pundit, like television pundit I ever heard of. And I thought Rush Limbaugh was just doing another Morton Downey Jr. act. Like, he was just putting this on for entertainment or comedy purposes. I didn't realize he was serious. Yeah. And that's what's terrifying about it, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I know guys, like I had a guy, good guy friend, and his wife became friends with me, and she came to me one day and said, "What do I do? Aaron's listening to Rush Limbaugh because he thinks he's funny." And I'm like, "Oh no, he's not funny. Get him to stop."
Yep.
And sure enough, he was starting to say, "Well, you know, occasionally he makes a good point here or there, you know." And I'm like, whatever you do, it's quicksand.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the whole thing that's built into that show, Jen, is, you know, and you can hear it illustrated in his callers. When his callers call up, they say mega dittos, Rush, which means everything you say, I 100% wholesale agree with. That's what mega dittos is. Yeah.
And that's what my dad would say to me. And he says it on the film.
Right.
Rush Limbaugh is my hero. I agree with everything he says.
Yep.
And my mother says, like what? And, well, I can't think of anything now, but I agree with everything he says.
That's it. It's that. And again, you know what? I don't, honest to God, I don't mean to insult your dad by going over these things. And seriously, because we'll get to this in a second, but my dad in the same boat. But that's the mentality. Like, I can't think of anything specific.
That's the seduction of it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's the power of it. That's the seduction. Mm-hmm. My dad had a master's degree in electronic engineering.
Yep.
He wasn't emotionally intelligent, but he was no dummy. Mm-hmm. And my biggest objection is that people keep saying about these Trumpers and all that, oh, they're stupid. And sure, maybe some of them are indeed. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that people do not realize is that our minds are not as strong and independent-minded as we'd like to think they are.
Yeah.
Media is powerful. And there are those like Rush Limbaugh, Alex Jones, Sean Hannity, that know how to push buttons and know how to seduce those minds. You know, like in my film, Steve Rendell, who is like a co-founder of FAIR, he's extremely knowledgeable. They would send him out to listen to Rush Limbaugh. And he said he was so convincing and sounded so confident that even I had to go back to the books and just check.
Wow.
You know, so these people are really, really talented. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, there's a psychological trick to it, right? I mean, there's that's ultimately what we're talking about here. I mean, they're using all kinds. Yeah. I guess we can get into Fox News now, because after Rush Limbaugh came for your dad, Fox News Channel, and that's really where they were able to engage psychology and trickery and visual imagery. I mean, to watch Fox News Channel in the months after 9/11. I mean, you couldn't almost, even if you disagreed with everything they said, you almost couldn't look away, because it was just shiny and angry and let's do this in America, rah, rah. Yeah. And it was that kind of attitude that they brought. And Roger Ailes being the guy who essentially invented Fox News Channel during the Nixon administration. I mean, it was something that he talked to Nixon about, believe it or not, and was only able to... actually bring it to fruition in the late 90s, right around the Monica Lewinsky thing. I think it was after Monica Lewinsky, but nevertheless, he was able to...
After Monica Lewinsky. But, you know, he was fortunate enough to meet Rupert Murdoch, who had the money and the funding for, and also they had the same goal. They wanted to spread an ideology. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just about making money, because they're appealing to people's anger and emotions and all that. They were selling an ideology. And that's why Rupert Murdoch is a very, very dangerous man.
Yeah.
Not to switch subjects, it's slightly different, but, you know, each country that he's owned media in, he has managed to change the government of those countries.
Yep.
And Reagan went and made him a citizen.
Yeah, it's very much like there's a parallel, I think, you can trace between the development of Fox News Channel and the development of the fast food industry that you see in a book like Fast Food Nation, for example, where they're able to tap into this psychological need that a lot of, and it's really specific in a lot of ways to Americans, but they were able to, McDonald's, Fox News Channel, were able to tap into the psychology of many Americans and really exploit that for all of the terrible things that we've seen. In the case of McDonald's, it's obesity and high cholesterol and heart disease and all of these related diseases. And then there, with Fox News Channel, it's things like Donald Trump. And ironically, Donald Trump loves McDonald's. So he's almost the confluence of all of these things, isn't he?
Yeah. Fox News is like the McDonald's of, news.
Exactly.
It's not news. But the American people were ripe for this for many reasons. Mm-hmm. One thing I learned, which was there was a vast right-wing conspiracy.
Yep.
You don't like to say conspiracy, but sometimes conspiracies happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it started after Goldwater lost. I mean, it started before, but really the big kickoff was after Goldwater lost to Johnson. They were like, he got hammered by Johnson.
Yep.
And the right was dead, and nobody wanted to be conservative, or right-wing. And they're like, okay, all right, how do we hit back?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to change the media. But, so they started working on the media, but then Lewis Powell comes along, right, and creates this doctrine, this memo, which was like a call to arm for big business and corporations to fight back against this social movement, which was going in a direction that it was the opposite direction of what they wanted to go in. And how to push the country to the right, how to change thought, how to change minds, how to change education, the judicial system, everything. And so you had billionaires funding this, with think tanks. So the country was primed, a large part of the country was primed for this anyway. Education wasn't as good. Independent thinking wasn't encouraged in school. Think tanks were sending out people to deliver conservative free market messages. Then you had the Reagan, who was also painting like free market to be like the answer to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were being deprived of good jobs. Like, you know, there used to be, my dad was the only one that worked. My mother didn't have to work. You know, what happened is the middle class was disappearing. People couldn't get raises. They weren't being able to make, an adequate living.
Yeah.
And they were angry. And then some of the social changes were making people feel left behind and inadequate, especially men, because there's women, you know, white men, because there's women, there was women's lib, and then there was like civil rights. And so they were prime for this. And they had, a vulnerable audience.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, you know, with the rise of Ronald Reagan and, you know, the beginning of the war on the middle class, which happened right around 1981, 1982, he was really the first big success story of what you described as being this post-Goldwater uprising of conservatives basically regrouping and figuring out ways to remain relevant in the political discourse, where, you know, one of the other things they were doing, too, is they started the practice of bulk buying of books, where if a conservative author publishes a book, then all these wealthy financiers will buy up who knows how many copies of the book to propel that piece up the bestseller charts and to get it noticed that way. And so that was
right.
A way of,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, totally gaming the system, right?
I gotta put that in my book.
And then, well,
so
yeah.
I'm writing a book right now. Yeah, a companion book to the movie. So,
oh, yeah.
Thank you for reminding me of that.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I'm so happy to hear that. You're working on a book version of the movie? I think that's great. Tell me about that.
Yeah, because the movie originally was like a 3-hour movie. We had everything in it, but we're like, who's going to sit and watch this? You know, 3-hour documentary.
Hello, I'm raising my hand. I would watch it for 3 hours, but I'm a masochist. I like this
stuff.
You
and I would. Right. But so this covers more about the personal and the political, like all of the little slow burning coups that happen along the way, like the little mini coups. It's kind of got a lot more information in it.
Yeah. In fact, let's see. I mean, some of the other things, I mean, some of the people who emerged out of that period of time, Richard Mellon Scaife was one of the financiers who was able to inject a lot of cash into this process of developing a conservative answer to the what they considered to be the, the quote unquote liberal media, which, as we all know, even though some journalists might be politically liberal, they don't bring that to the table. That's part of being objective. That's objective journalism happens that way. And of course, the editorial pages.
And who are their bosses?
Yeah, exactly right. And so these giant corporations are owning media, and more as time goes on. So what we're getting is this line from Fox News Channel, this line from AM Talk Radio, even going back to guys like Bob Grant, talking about how the media, I mean, Spiro Agnew, for God's sake, referred to the media as the nattering nabobs of negativism. And so, that was kind of the idea. And you see hints of, oh, this liberal media, they're out to get us, even during the Nixon administration. So, they were able to accumulate a lot of money and then this dividing line between, oh, look at that liberal media. Oh, and we're not going to say anything about the fact that the owners of these media outlets are all conservative billionaires and these multinational conglomerations on, which is the reality of it, isn't it?
Yeah. And then they had even more reason to leave out truly liberal, or left-leaning ideas or people that might speak about it in political talk shows, because they were like, oh no, we're known as the liberal media. We have to have more right-wing people on, and they bent over backwards to do that.
Oh yeah,
and like Edward S. Herman says, they were already pretty nice to the right wing already.
Right. Yeah, and there have been a couple of studies done with regard to the impact of all of this But, you know, I think it really, you start to see it take hold in that period of time around the, you know, the start of the deregulatory effort by people like Ronald Reagan, even Bill Clinton, who stripped away a lot of the regulation that prevented, you know, media monopolies and so on, just fewer and fewer companies owning more and more of the news,
right,
whether it's print journalism or television or radio for that matter, especially right, radio. And so right, it's almost like Americans in a certain sense, it's, you know what, it's almost surprising, Jen, that yeah, more people weren't suckered by this effort, knowing the size of it, yeah, and knowing the amount of money that was pumped yeah, into it. Don't you think?
Yes. Yes, I do think that. I mean, it did. Those ideas still got into like, quote unquote, liberal audiences. Mm-hmm. You know, I once heard a couple times I've heard like liberals say liberal media, and you know, I'm shocked. But it is amazing it didn't happen to more people. I think it kind of swelled mm-hmm, for a while. I hope it kind of hit a peak. And now I think that there is, people were afraid to criticize Fox. I don't want to say Fox News. I mean, I could barely say news and Fox in the same sentence.
Right. But, it's like saying President Trump. It's hard to say those two words together. I get
yes,
it.
Yeah. I can't, you know. I even try and separate the sentences if I have to say president and then I have to say Trump. You know, I usually try and separate those sentences out.
Yeah.
It's so disgusting to me. Mm. But, what was I saying?
we were just talking about this notion of the liberal media that really doesn't actually exist.
Right.
And how so many people have just been, from sheer repetition, I think it's been, that people have been fooled into believing this. And in fact, if you look at actual media yeah, outlets, you know, you look at any Sunday morning news show, or certainly on cable news, where it feels like every producer on these shows, every network executive at some of these cable networks has been completely like cowed into believing that, well, even though this liberal media thing doesn't exist, we have to cater to the people who are saying there's a liberal media. Otherwise, we're just going to keep getting complaint letters and whatever. So it's almost as if they yeah, capitulate to it without any reason to capitulate to it, right?
I have faith. Well, I think I have faith that people are starting to push back a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like, when I need a pick-me-up, I watch MSNBC because it always makes me feel like, yeah, they're getting them.
Yeah.
And they are more and more talking about, like, look what Fox said. And I think CNN sometimes does that. I'm not sure. But I kind of feel like we're heading in that direction, mm-hmm, and I just want my movie to push it.
Yeah, again, another reason why your movie has to be seen by as many people as possible, if for no other reason but to give us coping mechanisms for our relatives. Like, for example, I mentioned my dad a few minutes ago, Jen. Lifelong Treasury Department official, worked his way all the way up to be the acting inspector general at the Treasury Department. Brilliant, generous patriarch of our family, all the glowing things that you can say about a guy. But at yeah, some point, I would say somewhere between 2004 and 2008, he got looped into that Fox News cult. And the most shocking thing, I think, for most people watching relatives being indoctrinated is that they're otherwise intelligent, often sweet people. Is that something you've observed? I mean, what are some of the commonalities between some of the victims, if you can put it that way, of Fox News Channel and that propaganda?
The biggest commonality is anger. Mm-hmm. You know, around this time that my father was starting to change, I noticed a friend of mine kind of like always engaging me in an argument, always assuming that I felt one way about something, and then would just say, well, did you know that? And then it was always something to the opposite opposite effect of like what I felt. In other words, like I'll give you an example. Around the time, I remember one time my dad was saying something like, he just came out with the statement, you know, there's no such thing as organic, really. And I just looked at him like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then this girlfriend, who later on I found out was reading Drudge. I didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. She came up to visit me from the South. And we went out to lunch. I think it was lunch. And she said the exact same words. You know, there's no such thing as organic, really. And I'm like starting to put two and two together. And then another friend of mine, oh boy, it was around the time of Gore and Bush, mm-hmm. and that was really, really horrible, that thing going on. And the anger, like you couldn't discuss anything. Everything turned political. There was no safe subject. Mm-hmm. You couldn't talk about the weather because then climate change would come up. You couldn't talk about history, you know, it was a born-again Christian, whatever, because, you know, there were no such thing as dinosaurs or they were 6,000 years old or whatever. So the anger was the biggest commonality I would see.
Interesting. Yeah, and I would say, just in my experiences, the first time I saw a crack in the facade, I mean, it was funny because I used to have lots of political conversations with my dad, even though we didn't entirely agree on things, because mm-hmm. he was, he's always been a conservative guy. He was never politically mm-hmm. liberal by any stretch, but at the same mm-hmm. time, he was thoughtful about it. In fact, I remember him saying that he was going to vote for John Kerry in 2004 mm-hmm. because he thought the George W. Bush administration was somewhat incompetent, which kind mm-hmm. of understates it. But nevertheless, I'll mm-hmm. take it. And, I'm fairly mm-hmm. certain he voted for John Kerry in that election. And then mm-hmm. I think a big event occurred in all of this and in this ongoing timeline of this mm-hmm. indoctrination, I think, and that is the rise of Sarah Palin. I think Sarah Palin basically transformed sort of the proto-Trump. She basically became a pundit who was then running for, as vice president, running for presidential office. Mm-hmm. And so it was like the first time we ever saw a pundit-style candidate, almost like a Fox News host, but now running for, in her case, vice president. And I know with my dad, I mean, the first time I noticed that there was some anger there is, I remember my brothers and I were talking about Sarah Palin, and of course this is in 2008, and I was, saying some pretty nasty things about Sarah Palin, just as far as her incompetence, and my dad just let me have it, and said, what do you know about Sarah Palin? And we ended up getting into this argument about Sarah Palin, and I was kind of blown away, because I didn't realize that this person meant so much. And it was, there's a cultural thing. Don't you think there's a cultural thing in terms of these, I would say older baby boomers, younger, greatest generation, men mostly, who feel like culture is passing them by, like society is passing absolutely. Them by. And so they're clinging on to things that are familiar to them. I don't know if that makes sense, but That seems to be one of the reasons, don't you think? One of the common factors here, right?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, Steve Rendell says that really quite well in the film. He says they just feel like they're being passed by.
Yeah.
And really, if you think about it, that must be a frightening thing. I mean, for how many, centuries, whatever men, white men were in charge and, the breadwinners and had this certain image. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, pretty suddenly, you know, within a decade or two, they're being asked to change. They're being asked to move over. They're being asked to invent a new self-image. Mm-hmm. That's pretty frightening.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, with my dad, he's not very self-reflective. He was intelligent, but he was not self-reflective. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think he would think about it in that way. And I think that here comes, like, Rush Limbaugh is saying, you know, you don't have to change. You know, Rush Limbaugh and all these guys, these people are making you feel uncomfortable, and they are they're just libtards, and you know, poking them with that anger stick.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah, and that's the whole point behind all of these shows, is to exploit this generational sense of abandonment, maybe, where they feel like, you know, society and technology and how we speak to people who look different and how we coexist and the interconnectivity of digital media and so on. It's terrifying. I know to my dad, I think it's quite frightening. And in fact, he's at the point now.
Fear is at the root of it. The fear is at the root of it all.
Absolutely. And did you get the sense that was the case with your dad, where he was just terrified by these things that he didn't maybe fully grasp in terms of the bigger picture, but which, you know, Fox News, Rush Limbaugh gave him answers for?
Well, with my dad, not so much as maybe he felt a little insecure before that, like, how am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? But really, once he found Rush Limbaugh, it was all about the anger.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I've had some recent conversations. My dad just turned 80 back in November, so he's a little bit younger than your dad. But, you know, he has said to me on a couple of occasions, of course, we avoid politics altogether in discussion, but, I have lunch with him every couple of weeks. And, you know, the last time we spoke about anything close to this sort of thing, he was expressing some, you know, disillusionment about because he's a guy who reads the Washington Post every day, but he doesn't know what to believe anymore, because now his president is telling him that all of the stuff that he once took on as a matter of faith, you know, okay, well, this is on the front page of the Washington Post, it must be true. Now he's hearing, oh, this is all fake news, this doesn't exist. And then he's seeing that on Fox News Channel all the time. Like, he specifically watches, like, a panel show, like The Five is one of his favorite shows on Fox News. So he's getting bombarded from all sides, where he doesn't know which way to turn necessarily. He thinks that what he's seeing on Fox News Channel is accurate, but at the same time, I think there's still, it's almost like someone, you know, and again, the use of the word brainwashing in the title of your movie is so perfect, because it's almost like someone who's brainwashed, but their actual conscience is in there somewhere going, help me get out of here. How do I, you know, how do I defeat this? Obviously, think of the Star Trek The Next Generation episode where Captain Picard gets assimilated by the Borg, but Captain Picard is still in there somewhere, and he's going, please help me out of this Borg facade. I'm trapped here.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Was your dad reading the Washington Post at all, too, still?
Yeah, I think he's still a subscriber. I think he still gets it. You know, I told him, I said, look, if you're looking for hard news that you can trust, let me tell you, here we'll draw a compromise on this. Get a subscription to the Wall Street Journal, or pick it up when you go for coffee in the morning, and read the A section of the Wall Street Journal. You'll be pretty up to speed, and you can't doubt it, because it's Rupert Murdoch. It's the same ownership. It's conservative, at least on the editorial page. And I thought, well, maybe this is the way that it was sort of like what you did with your dad. I don't want to spoil too much of your movie, but what you did with your dad in terms of signing him up for some email newsletters and things like that. What I did is I said, try the Wall Street Journal, because at least maybe he'll get some Russia news out of that or something, because they've been doing some pretty good reporting on the Trump Russia story. So that was sort of how I am trying
to. Interesting. All those things do a little bit of good. They make little dents. I mean, people feel like, oh, it's not doing any good, but you're introducing another thought, and eventually it might help.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you recommend sabotaging our relatives by blocking Fox News on their TVs?
Highly.
Great. That's I think it's one of the most clever ideas. In fact, I noticed you recommended doing the same thing with bar and restaurant TVs.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, me and HearYourselfThink.org, we have created these Fox Off cards. Originally, I created them for my mom because she lives in a retirement area in Toms River, and she would go into a doctor's office or a little restaurant, and, you know, the old people would have Fox News on, and she'd be like, I don't like that, but I don't want to say anything. Yeah. So we made these little cards, they're like the size of business cards, that says, did you know that Fox divides people? Can you kindly turn it off? Blah, 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 blah. So I have those cards on hand in case I don't have time to say something to somebody, whatever, but I'll usually say something. And I encourage everybody to speak up and say something and not be intimidated. You know, they will be the loudest voice in the room unless, you know, you speak back and you say something, and little by little, I mean, we have to stigmatize it.
Yeah.
We have to stigmatize it, and there are some people that have written to me that have actually gone into their parents' TV and used the parental controls.
Yes.
And blocked Fox, and it's helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So cause for dire actions.
have you heard from anyone who's gotten into trouble with their parents or relatives for doing that, or is it pretty much?
No.
Have you noticed any results from it? Is what I'm asking, I guess.
Yes. Somebody with their mother. Actually, it was towards the end of her mother's life, so her mother became a much happier person when she couldn't figure out how to get Fox back on anymore.
It is such a brilliant idea because, again, whoever sets those parental controls, you're putting in a PIN number that you invent yourself in order to block those channels, and so your parent or your relative doesn't know the PIN number. Only you have the PIN number. So I can imagine the only way around this is to then call the cable company and have them reset the whole system or something. It just seems like something that I know, for example, with my dad, if I were to do that to him, and I don't have the guts to do it to him, quite honestly. I know my brother also listens to this podcast, so I'm sure he's going, no, we could never get away with that. But I know that it would turn into several weeks of an ordeal for him to get the cable company to come out and to reset it, and first to realize that there was a problem and then to somehow problem solve it. But, you know, maybe in that gap of time, then he'd go,
I was just going to say that. If he doesn't figure out it was you guys that did it, it would give his mind a rest.
Yeah.
Well, and then you could say, well, hey, you could watch MSNBC.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he used to watch Chris Matthews. We used to talk about Chris Matthews all the time. At least that seems like something that was his speed. But, you know, it's
right.
It's tough.
Right.
And it's become this whole dynamic, especially now with the rise of Donald Trump, has become so difficult, and it's whether it's relatives or friends or what have you, where people are not speaking to each other, unfriending each other because of this, and it feels like there's a sense of futility sometimes. I get, Jen, because I feel like they're also saying, well, we're the ones who are, the liberals are the ones who are brainwashed. We're not brainwashed. Is that something that you've heard? Because I don't know how do you counter something like that other than to say, well, you know, we have all this documentary evidence that we can show you, all of these documents and news stories by reputable news. Oh, it's all fake news. It's all the deep state. How do we get around that?
Well, they created the perfect storm by one of their tactics, and if people can go on the website and see a whole list of tactics. One of the tactics that they do is accuse you of what they themselves are guilty of. And I seem to notice, like, after my movie came out and I introduced the word brainwashing, not that I was the only one, but it's almost like then they start accusing you of being brainwashed. And that is very difficult to counter, because what it does, when they accuse you of what they're guilty of, what are you supposed to say? No, you are?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, no, you are, but what am I? Mm-hmm. You know? There's so many things. One thing that people can do is go on the website of my friends, hearyourselfthink.org, mm-hmm. and they have a PDF about how you can, with information on how you can argue with people. You kind of have to deactivate their amygdala first, because science has shown their amygdala is actually bigger, because it's like the fear, the anger, the emotional center of the brain. And so you can't like argue back, because that's just going to set them off. You have to meet on some sort of neutral territory. But I mean, as far as like an argument on Twitter or something, somebody says you're brainwashed, you know, just whatever you come up with is going to be fine, you know, even if it's no, you're brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
On Facebook or.
Well, you know, and the frustrating thing about this, too, sometimes is with Fox News Channel, there are straight up news segments, and I'm making quotes, mm-hmm. I'm making air quotes as I say news segments, but they try to do straight up news. The funny thing is, with Fox News Channel, they actually insert their bias and their propaganda into the selection of the straight news stories that they cover on Fox News Channel. So even the straight up news, like my dad said, well, what is there anything on Fox News Channel that you would approve of? I said, well, you know, watch Shep Smith or Brett Baer. And then I'm thinking, well, even Brett Baer is picking his news stories based on a certain agenda that they have. Mm-hmm. And it's usually set up in the morning where they have a memo that goes out that says, okay, here's the thought of the day, or here's the goal of, you know, our message for the day. And it's really sinister. But that, I mean, this now leads us to Donald Trump. And I want to get into Donald Trump as being not only a purveyor of all of this, but to a certain extent, don't you think he's a victim of Fox News Channel, where he, much like your dad, much like my dad, much like so many other relatives.
So funny that you're saying that, because I tweeted Ivanka, not that she listens to me, but I said, you have to see our film, The Brainwashing of My Dad, because I think your dad is a victim.
Wow.
I mean, when he comes out with information that is exactly opposite of what his experts say, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's the FBI, whether it's the Pentagon, say, you wonder, okay, where did you get that information? Why are you so convinced of it? Where do you think he's getting this information? I mean, some he pulls out his ass, if I can say that on.
Oh, sure, of course.
Yes. But, you know, he's also got Breitbart. He's got Fox. He's got Alex Jones. He's got Rush Limbaugh. He's got these people that are telling him just the opposite.
Yeah.
And, you know, his brain isn't working that well. And so he doesn't stop to think, well, who might be telling me the truth? Well, then plus, you know, he's also got we don't know how much influence the Russians are having on him, but
sure.
Some of these things I'm sure they want him to say too.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the Russians, I'm sure Putin's completely satisfied with the fact that Donald Trump yells at his TV for half the day and then believes most of what he sees on there, because that's all part of the disruption of American democracy that Donald Trump is engaged in right now, wittingly slash unwittingly. I mean, there's two things happening at the same time where Donald Trump doesn't realize he's doing it, and at the same time, he does realize he's doing it, depending on what he happens to be doing at any given time. Yeah. But I kind of vacillate between these two points of view with regard to Trump, and that's either that he's borrowed the Fox News pundit style and weaponized it, or he's been indoctrinated by Fox News and this is just what he believes. Being this otherwise empty vessel, it was just it was a wide open gap that he is able to have been filled with Fox News propaganda, and so he's now again brainwashed. So I mean, it's either he's using it and exploiting it, or he's actually a victim of it, or it may just be a combination of the two. I'm not sure.
I think that's a really good point, and I do think it's both, because, you know, he does fancy himself a really savvy business person, and so he does have these ideas that will just, if you're telling a lie, just, you know, tell it like you believe it, don't back down. And so I think he sometimes doesn't know what the truth is and doesn't, because it doesn't matter to him. Yeah. What matters is that he saves face, and he gets his point across, and he's doing the bidding of what he thinks his base or the Russians or other Republicans want.
Yeah. And in fact, today he was doing it on Twitter, where he is now rejecting the assessment of his entire intelligence community. I mean, people who he has handpicked and appointed to run, not only the Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence, Gina Haspel, the director of the CIA. I mean, the head of the NSA, the heads of the entire. And they're saying one thing, and then Donald Trump saying, no, they need to go back to school. I'm believing what Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade said. I mean, that's literally what happened on Twitter this morning. He couldn't have illustrated your thesis better than today, which was Fox and Friends over, you know, the intelligence community. It's terrifying, isn't it?
Right. Like, are Fox and Friends, are they really like sending out their little friends and their little people into the field, you know, into Afghanistan and, you know, into Iraq and everything like that, you know? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't see Brian Kilmeade as a very good commander of covert operations. No. I don't think Brian Kilmeade can barely tie his shoes in the morning. I mean, I don't think he's all that bright when it comes to the black arts or whatever you want to call them. But, you know, and so that's just the crazy thing, because then when we say, oh, well, why aren't you believing the intelligence community? Well, they've got an answer for that too. Oh, it's part of the deep state. They're all everyone's out to get.
And that's another example of them accusing you of what they're guilty of. A long time ago, Mike Lofgren wrote about the deep state, and it wasn't like a couple of Democrats and a few FBI. It was people that were more on the Republican side. And so what they do is, oh, they're catching on to us, so we better start accusing them and using the word of deep state, because then we'll put them in the defensive. You know what I mean? I mean, that might sound a little far-fetched, but
no, I think it makes perfect sense. I think it's another way to, well, you know, here's another bit of propaganda that everyone will devour. Yeah. Oh, the idea of the intelligence community, because what we're talking about are baby boomers who are raised in a time when there were tremendous abuses of power happening in the Nixon White House, and that were all exposed in the Watergate era and in the years after Watergate, with all the congressional hearings and reforms that were passed. And so they're going, well, the government is completely untrustworthy. So it's almost like they're predisposed to believing in a deep state conspiracy. It's just that it happens to be targeting this absolute dilettante lunatic in the White House, And, right. you know, and then you have to go, well, why, for God's sake, would they suddenly arise and try to take down Donald Trump, of all people? Why Donald Trump? Why is the deep state?
Yeah, because he's their useful idiot. They don't need to take him down.
That's right. And then, speaking of useful idiot, I mean, again, we heard this morning, Jen, that Donald Trump apparently has been calling up Lou Dobbs and having Lou Dobbs on speakerphone during like high powered Oval Office meetings. So,
you're kidding.
So, so Lou Dobbs can weigh in. And apparently, Donald Trump thinks Sean Hannity is too much of an ass kisser, and his real hero at Fox, in fact, it's Fox Business, Lou Dobbs is the real go-to guy for Donald Trump. It's astonishing, especially you know what Lou Dobbs is all about. But isn't, I mean, that's, again, every time I see a story like that, I go, brainwashing of my dad. Donald Trump is another illustration of the brainwashing of my... It's so appropriate that you contacted Ivanka about that. Because I'm sure, you know, I'm sure the Trump kids are like, of course, what's wrong with dad? I mean, this is not the same dad that was partying at Studio 54 and on television and so on.
Right? Yeah. And you know, if they could blame that, then they wouldn't have to look at him as being like a total asswipe.
That's exactly right. That should be his official job title, by the way. Donald Trump, professional total asswipe. Jen, let me ask you this before we wrap up here. What else can we do about Fox News and AM talk radio that's not already being done? Is there anything else?
Yes. One thing that I think we really all need to do is emphasize to our candidates and our elected officials that media is an issue, and that if we don't address the problem with the media, then we're never going to get anywhere. And it's like, you know, you get those little emails like, what are your important issues, you know, and then you have like LGBTQ rights, climate change, this and that and this and that. In the blank space, I always say media. You know, it's not perfectly clear what we can do, but there are other people that can work on legislation and strengthen the FCC, for one thing. Like, Reagan really watered it down. There were more people in it. He took some power away from it. I don't know all the details, but I was just reading about it. And we have to get something like... It's like fairness in advertising, like Fox News should not be able to call itself news. And then people on the right will always say, well, what about MSNBC? I'm like, well, they at least don't call themselves news. It's political talk. Maybe disclaimers, whatever.
Yeah. In fact, Fox, I was going to say, Fox News Channel sells to advertisers their primetime block as entertainment. They say, well, this is from 8 o'clock until whenever, I guess, 11. That's an entertainment block on Fox News Channel. That's what they're telling advertisers. And they're not even billing it as news.
But they're not telling their viewers that.
No, they certainly aren't. And so that's, I mean, that's one big deal right there in terms of getting that, basically, truth in branding.
Yeah, I mean, if you want free speech... You're going to have to respect it a lot better, and you're going to have to be, you're going to have to pay for that in a way. Yeah. Like, you want to be able to lie? Okay. Well, we're going to run disclaimers across the bottom of your screen, you know, or during your radio show, every half hour. This is fiction, you know, whatever. This is entertainment. because it is like yelling fire in a theater.
Yeah.
And it has had horrible consequences. It has divided our country. We haven't been this divided since the Civil War. We're in a very serious state. I don't have to tell any of your listeners that. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that the country is not functional and the middle class is gone and poor people are suffering. And, you know, the list goes on forever. The billionaires are, like, in control.
Yep.
So we have to make our whenever chance we get, we have to make sure that we tell our candidates that they have to do something about the media. They have to address it. They have to talk about it, you know, about right-wing media, mm-hmm. not just generic media. They can't throw it all in the same basket, but right-wing media. They have to recognize what harm it's done, and people have to speak out about it.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, I've kind of recommended the idea of tackling AM talk radio first, and I'll tell you why. Because it's still broadcast, mm-hmm. which means it's the air, it's, you know, it's delivered over the air, which is mm-hmm. owned by everybody and therefore protected right. by the federal government and regulated right. by the federal government. So it's a lot easier in the case of AM yeah. talk radio to reinstate something like the Fairness Doctrine, where we're not right. taking away conservative talk radio. What we're merely doing is adding balance so that public airwaves, things that we, the air that we all own and share, that's something mm-hmm. that should be fairly dispensed in terms of ideology. It shouldn't just be exclusively Republican, conservative, Rush Limbaugh, Mike Levin or Mark Levin and all the other assholes who occupy the AM radio dial. It shouldn't be just them. There needs to be more diversity there. And so I think it's much easier to get something like the Fairness Doctrine reinstated for broadcast outlets. Whereas I think regulating a cable network is a little more challenging because it falls outside the Fairness Doctrine and you would almost have to invent some new way to regulate that, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would. But until then, we can at least stigmatize it and yeah. And have everybody should be talking about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just every candidate should mention it. Like, this is how they're and the rest of the media drives me crazy. It's like when they wonder, like, well, that 33%, how are they like that? Well, it's because they're either listening or watching or ascribing to emails, right-wing yep. radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there'd maybe be 5% of them if we didn't have that.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd like to mention, if I may, mm-hmm. is right now we're running an iTunes promo where you can watch The Brainwashing of My Dad for 99 cents, or you can actually own it for $3.99. And we're doing this until the 12th, and we're hoping to be able to pay off our backer what we owe.
Oh, great.
And so, you know, if we could... yeah, people could tell other people and et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, you know what? I mentioned this at the very top of the show too to make sure you get some okay. some greater placement for the plug there. So yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things I've been trying to promote it as much as I can on for what it's worth on my various platforms.
Thank
so,
you.
But I mean, just I guess one last thought from you, Jen. I mean, do you see things returning to a level of sanity anytime soon? I mean, just overall, given the climate right now.
I kind of feel like we are headed in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll take a long time, and we have to be persistent. And again, media has to be addressed. But I'm pushing for it. I'm pushing for it, Bob.
Okay. Well.
And I do see it. I do see it eventually happening.
Well, that's great news. That's great to hear. I tend to be a little more pessimistic sometimes, but I get this. I do get the sense now that some cracks are forming, and you know, given the toxicity of the Trump years, I feel like the way this is all going to end up is that Donald Trump is going to become such a pariah that Fox News Channel, everyone that has attached their names to Donald Trump are also going to get dragged down to a certain extent with him. Maybe just in terms of their reputation, but you know, given the nature of the Trump Russia thing and how Fox News may be somehow wrapped into all of that, I mean, there's a distinct possibility that it's not just Donald Trump and Donald Trump's family that are going to be a dragged down in legal jeopardy under all of this. It's I think many
too.
More.
I think so
too.
And can I tell you real quick my thoughts that I have?
Sure.
You know how Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh made like they embarrassed Trump, and so he did the shutdown, and they were saying he didn't build the wall. Well, I wondered, like, they probably know that. There's not going to get any funding for the wall. There's not going to be any funding for this stupid wall, right? Yeah. So I think that this vessel has been filled, that they have done what they could with Trump. And they see the writing on the wall, that he's going down in some way or other. He's going to be tainted. You know, his usefulness is gone. And so this would be like sort of a way out for them. Like, well, this is where we draw the line, knowing very well that line can't be drawn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, thank God for that. Yeah, because, you know, it's a similar thing happened with George W. Bush, actually. As soon as George W. Bush stepped out of the White House for the last time, everyone who supported him for 8 years were going, hey, you know, I didn't really support him after all. Oh, thank you. Great. I'm glad you came around now that it's too late.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be obviously the case, as we've seen with the poll numbers. That seems to be the case now, where people are suddenly going, well, I guess all those people were kind of right about Trump. You know?
Yeah.
It's frustrating, but I'm at least glad to see it happening. Jen, where can people find the movie? What's the website for the movie? And how can people follow you on social media?
It's the brainwashingofmydad.com, and then at brainwashingdad, or they can follow me at Jen_Senko. Can't pronounce my own name.
my last name is Seska, so I have trouble with my own name too. So you're not alone.
And then there's the Brainwashing of My Dad movie on Facebook.
Great.
Or as we like to call it, Crackbook.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Facebook is a whole other angle to all of this, Jen. And I can't believe we never got around to the brainwashing that Facebook is responsible for, at least up until recently. Yeah, but maybe that's a conversation that we can have next time we get together on a podcast.
But
I definitely love to have you back on, because there's so much material to be covered here, and so much ground that changes every damn day. But I want to thank you for your I want to thank you for your brilliant, brilliant film. And I assure you, you touched a lot of people who experienced the exact same thing you have with your dad. Is your dad still with us, by the way?
You'll have to watch the end of the movie.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. On that note, Jen, thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you next time.
Oh, and Bob?
Yes?
One question.
Sure.
I probably should have said goodbye first. Can you let me know when this is going to air?
Absolutely, yeah. And by the way, I'll also put all of the links and everything like that with the description under the show, so people will have something that they can directly click on. To take them to your social media, take them to your website, and so on. And I'll make sure to get the plug-in for iTunes at the very top of all of this.
Yeah, that's going to end on February 12th. So do you think it would run before then?
Oh, yeah. This is going to go up today.
Oh, yay! Okay.
It's going up as soon as we're done. I'm just gonna record the intro and then I post it. It'll go up on our Patreon page, and then in about 3 weeks or so, it'll go up on our iTunes feed after that.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah.
Okay, it was really, really great talking to you. Boy, you're fun to talk to.
Oh well, thank you, Jen. So are you. I appreciate that.
No probs.
We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Bob. All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.